Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
It's Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And we got a big one coming in today, literally, metaphorically, every sense of the word. Derrick Henry going to join us in about 45 minutes. The Titans star running back, fresh off trying to injure someone just by being big again this weekend. Jhené, that hit still rattling around in my brain. So I'm very curious to know what it's like to deliver a hit like that, because I was around the line of scrimmage, Jhené, playing offensive line. We didn't have to deal with things that big moving that fast. That's a different ballgame.
Honestly, I'm like, what other sport would he be great at? Like, that drop step would be mean in hoops.
Ooh, he could clear out some space too, right? That's a, like,
box out.
He's big and he moves too fast. He's like those, like LeBron James, where between the foul lines, he moves and covers way more ground than he should in that.
So this might be way in the weeds, but I know Clifford would appreciate it because it's his cousin, Lou Dort, OKC, big guy.
Oh, man.
Quick feet, strong. Does he approve, Cliff?
Is that a comp right now, by the way? Is that the comp we're getting for Derrick Henry?
Well, that's the rookie end, but he's in the MVP conversation, so it's that with like a whole bunch of flexing.
There we go. I was going to say, certainly a lot of flexing involved when you're talking about Derrick Henry. So we're excited to get him on the show in a little bit, Jhené. That's on the good side of things. But we got to talk about last night. Monday Night Football, we saw in the NFL last night, Chicago Bears, the Los Angeles Rams, and the Rams go out there and get a solid win, a thorough beating last night for a team defensively in the Bears that has it all going on. But Jhené, on the offensive side, we even heard some in the broadcast, communication seems to be one of those things that might not be going the best right now for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, watching the game, it's clear that there's a struggle. And while they have, you know, I said yesterday, going into it, it's like we're going to have a lot of opportunity to see which team is more like their record indicates. And I think no one was surprised to see that the Bears probably a little overinflated based on who they played. And it doesn't get any easier from here, because the good thing is they've built up nice enough of a head start. Right? Like going 5-2 in a season where they have an additional playoff spot, they put themselves in the mix. But the reality is what we saw yesterday. And going forward, they're playing what? The Saints, the Titans, the Vikings, and the Packers. So things can get real, real fast, especially when you're playing against the Rams.
Correct. And right now, if the playoffs were to start today, which is a dangerous game to play in the NFL, the Bears would be in the fifth spot at this point, sitting there with that 5-2 record. But you mentioned some of the teams that they're getting ready to face in coming weeks. And I think this is going to be a moment where this team starts coming back down to earth, Jhené. You watched last night. That offense just has nothing to offer. It is sporadic moments where talent just makes plays that the scheme around it is not putting it in position to. This is a team with a quarterback that we've seen outside of those miracle Eagles years is above average, and that's probably the best that we can say about Nick Foles on a given day, and that can't protect him. Nick Foles in the second half last night was under duress for 56% of his dropbacks. 45% overall for the game, the highest that the Bears had allowed since 2017 going up against the Ravens. So I just don't know what else you can say about this team, Jhené. They don't have a quarterback that can elevate you, and they don't have an offensive line that can protect that quarterback. You can't go very far living that way.
Are you one of those people thinking, oh, maybe we were too quick to switch it up? Even though it feels like, especially coming off of the win against the Bucks, like, oh, we're moving in the right direction. We're making the right decision. And now you see against the Rams, it's like, oh, like a lot of people are getting cold feet with Nick Foles. Are you one of those people?
No, I was one of those people that thought this offseason they should have gone after a quarterback in a higher tax bracket to push Mitchell Trubisky. Remember, we're fresh off watching Nick Foles get that deal down in Jacksonville that was probably a little too rich for most people's taste. Not to say don't get your money. We want everyone to do that. I love backup quarterbacks for that reason alone. But if he's going to be a guy pushing to get the starter, this can be what happens in this situation. To me, this is indicative of you've got to make wholesale changes this offseason if you're the Chicago Bears. And it starts and ends with the quarterback position. I thought last year they should have been looking more seriously into moving on from Mitchell Trubisky. And now this year they're finding out that's a reality that I think has become crystal clear going into this offseason.
I mean, is there anything that you take away that moving forward, like, they can actually hold their hats to after watching yesterday?
I mean, the defense is great.
That's expected.
They're legitimately great. And honestly, that part of it makes me happy, because we talked about last year regression expected when the year before you have Khalil Mack forcing a turnover like every other play. So them going out there and being excellent is no surprise. Watching Akeem Hicks basically just dump truck people in the middle of that defensive line brings joy to my heart, even though I would have hated blocking against him and did hate blocking against him briefly when we were both on the New Orleans Saints. But no, I look at this, Chiné, and I say that defense is exactly what we expected. But offensively, we even heard during the game that there might be some communication issues. Brian Griese and the Bruce talked about how he and Nick Foles were chatting prior to the game. And Nick Foles, this was what Brian Griese said, was, Nick told me sometimes I get plays from the sideline and I know right away I'm not going to have time to execute that play, which a lot of people took as to say, well, does Matt Nagy not understand the flow of the game in these situations? Are you not on the same page with your play caller? And Nick Foles had to come to the podium to kind of clear the air after that one. Here's what he had to say about that miscommunication with Brian Griese.
That was definitely a miscommunication with Brian and I. You know, we do these pregame conversations the day before the game just to give them information. That conversation, Coach Nagy and I have a great conversation on the sidelines. So there might be times where we go through it beforehand and say, hey, what do you think? And there's times where you got to get the ball out quick and whatnot. But in those situations, like, Matt and I have a great relationship on the sideline with conversations and everything. I think, you know, in that situation with Brian, it was just a miscommunication of words, because that's not what I was trying to bring across in that conversation.
Chiné Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chiné Gwumke. Chiné, no more uncomfortable position than that for a guy, right?
Yeah, he had to walk it back. Maybe he spilled a little bit too much tea, and then he was like, oh, no, I don't want to put anyone in a bad position. But, you know, when I look at the outcome of that game, I saw a Bears team that really was one-dimensional, even though we came in thinking that Foles, he would raise the ceiling of that offense higher than what we had unrealistic expectations, and now we get it in the moment. Anytime they run into a team that is balanced, both offensively and defensively, they're likely going to struggle, and they are going to run into the Saints or the Vikings or the Titans or the Packers. And that might prove a challenge. And I think that's what we saw get exposed. While the Rams don't have like that explosive of an offense, they still have a balanced attack that allows them to stay competitive in an NFC West that, my goodness, you look at like the standings there, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Rams. And then the only team like that they have, they're 4-3. It's like polar opposites of the NFC East, obviously. But, you know, all they do is win. I think they feel comfortable, the Rams, but like looking at the Bears, it just is a little bit more like, oh, this is reality, and they're going to struggle even when they have such a strong and reliable defense.
Yeah, remember with the expanded playoffs right now, we've got 7 teams making it on each side of this. So we currently have 3 teams from the NFC West sitting inside that playoff picture. The only one missing was the NFC representative from the Super Bowl last year right now,
Wild.
The San Francisco 49ers in this equation. And you're right, this team is extremely one-dimensional, Chiné, and they've been this year, I think, trying to start a fire with wet logs, right? Like, you get in this situation, and you're like, oh, maybe it's just this one log. Maybe it's Mitchell Trubisky that just won't catch in this situation. Let me try and get another one in here to try and get this thing going a little more kindling underneath this fire, until you realize the whole situation is just soaked and you need to go and make a move in a different direction. That's what I think the Bears delayed this offseason, and that's what I think has become crystal clear for everyone sitting in Chicago now, because I saw a lot of frustrated Bears fans on the timeline last night, Chiné, that are just sick of looking for reasons why it's not working with Mitchell Trubisky, why him and Matt Nagy can't get on the same page, why this offense can't put up any points. And I think the answer at some point has to be you win with the parts that you bring in, and those parts just aren't getting the job done right now.
I'm now just realizing that I was like, oh, lighting a fire when it's wet. Like, I wouldn't know. I've never been camping.
You've never started a fire like in the house, like not
no.
a fireplace or anything like
no.
that? Bonfire?
No, we have one of them fake ones.
Wait, grew up in Houston, Texas, and you have never been burning stuff outdoors before with people?
I'm trying to think. No. We did have bonfires, but I didn't go. Your girl was the daughter of an assistant principal, so.
No bonfires, but coming up next, speaking of the great state of Texas, I have a very upset Jerry Jones and Chiné educating us on some rodeo happenings in the great state of Texas.
Yes,
we will
good
get to the rodeo tea next. It's Chiné Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
There's an old adage, don't tick off an old man with a little money. It'll get you. Tell you who said that in just a second. It's Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake, because we have a very upset Jerry Jones, if that doesn't spoil it too much for you.
What's new?
In Dallas right now, looking at his 2-5 football team that we got to get to, because this team has been an absolute disaster. They have looked lost in a lot of ways, and this was one of the first times we've heard Jerry Jones really show that frustration publicly, Janae. And for a lot of people, they know everything in the Cowboys organization begins and ends with him, and yet it seems to take so long for people to look up and say, wait a minute, this is exactly what you can open yourself up to when you go about constructing a roster the way Jerry Jones did. So, Janae, as you've seen everything go on with the Cowboys right now, how pressing do the changes that need to be made look to you at this point? You're someone who grew up in Houston. You're used to the pressure that comes in the Lone Star State with a team as public as the Cowboys. How soon do changes have to come there?
I think now. You know, really now you have to look at yourself in the mirror and just wonder, is this something that you want to keep throwing a Band-Aid over when you're like needing more immediate services when it comes to your health, your football health? And I'm just thinking about this situation through, honestly, the lens of Dak Prescott. And I think maybe it was because of our conversation with Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday that sort of carried over, because these are two guys dealing with injuries. What they're doing now, internalizing themselves, their points of view, it might have, you know, effects and consequences, in the sense that when it comes to Dak, this is the, you know, he's been such a great ambassador for the Cowboys through the highs and through the lows. And this is the first time where he's going to have to watch his team go on without him. And try to make, and obviously we're seeing his value to that process. But now, like, me knowing what it's like to be in an injury situation, now he's going to think probably what is best for me, because I've been thinking about what's best for the team, and that hasn't really helped us find any sort of solution. And, you know, I think the big issue here is that as great as he played, and he's played, and like he has this whole comeback narrative now that everyone's rooting for, all verdicts go through Jerry Jones. He's the face of the franchise, and he is the one that, you know, is frustrated. But guess what? The same way we talked about the good when it comes to Kyler Murray being a beast of Russell Wilson's creation, this output is a beast of Jerry Jones' creation. So as much as you're frustrated and saying, oh, I don't like this, you created this. You put yourself in this position, and now I feel like there's so many parties, Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones, Dak Prescott, and so many others that are all corners in the wall, you know, backed against the wall and looking at a situation that probably can't be saved anymore.
Yeah, listen, Jerry Jones in this situation bet on the idea that the people he was putting around the quarterback were more valuable than the quarterback himself. And I understand people saying Dak Prescott paying him this offseason wouldn't have not injured his ankle. Use the injury as a proxy for what might happen next year in free agency, where all of a sudden he's not a part of your team, and you have seen how quickly the house of cards goes down when that guy's not on the field for you. So just extrapolate that. I'm not saying paying him would have made anything better with the injury situation. Those are unfortunately freak parts of the game that happen when it's this sport this violent. But when he is off the field, can the rest of the people that you paid money to operate just as well or better without him? And that answer has been a resounding no so far, no matter who's been out there. I understand Jerry saying there's darn near 40% of our roster that's off the field. What is interesting now is the questions he is starting to respond to. One of them being, is there a leadership void on the field for this team? Jerry was asked about it, and here was his response.
But seriously. Where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no. Shut up and let me answer. No. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
That sound courtesy of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And Janae, you can hear him defiant, and this is why what you brought up is very interesting when it comes to what's going to happen with Dak now going into next season. because we all looked at this injury and there were schools of thought of, well, now the Cowboys might get exactly what they want, be able to knock the price down because Dak's going to be coming off injury, trying to rebound next season. Then people saw the way they played and they said, maybe there's more leverage in Dak's favor than we gave credit to. The bottom line still is, based on where they're situated right now with the money they doled out, unless they can get a lot of it going out of town, and even then, that dead money sitting there on their cap, going to make it very hard to bring Dak back, potentially on another franchise tag or on a long-term deal with the way that you have set this up. So that sounds like a man who is frustrated and knows, I made this bed that I now have to sleep in.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because you talk about the situation with the Dallas Cowboys and you reference my roots in Houston. And I'm just thinking about what happened with obviously a completely different scenario, but where there was culture in question with the Houston Astros. And we talked about how these players were still allowed to play. And the person that paid the price was the GM, the people that put those players in the position. And so now looking at the Cowboys, I know a lot of people sort of feel like based off of last year and the years past, Jason Garrett, what happened to him, there's more of a sense of urgency to get it right with the coach, which is why Mike McCarthy is really in the hot seat right now. I know there's even concepts about like, okay, that defense is worse than the NFL. Should it be Mike Nolan? You know, that sort of potentially, you know, all of these are tough situations. And I think when we have these conversations about who pays in the moment, it's hard to do it in this year, you know, that small sample size of this year. This year is a year like no other. But again, it's like when you are not entirely the root of all problems, it's hard for me to attribute all of the failures to one person, you know? And that's the issue here, because a lot of it is cultural and it seeps through many different angles. And that's where I struggle even saying like, who's on the hot seat or who should be feeling pressure? Because I know the players do. They have to perform. But also it's sort of like they have a built-in excuse because we have injuries and Dak's not there. So it just feels like it's hard to fix quickly.
A lot of the embarrassing portions of it, the players can control, because some of the things we've seen on defense, guys not lining up and being in the right spot, making gap mistakes, those are effort issues, those are execution issues that the players have to own their end of. The hot seat and the coaching stuff is just going to end up being about accountability. That's usually what it ends up being. Things can't continue to be this bad and no one have to answer for it. That's generally why those moves get made. We don't like seeing people get fired, but that's just it. The rest of this all goes back to Jerry Jones, though. All of this happens, all of these people are in place because Jerry Jones thought it to be so, thought it to be the right decision. I understand Steve and his son plays a role in this also, but the Cowboys empire is Jerry Jones and everything happens because his ego decides what needs to in that situation. That's why he won't subvert his own power by bringing someone else in, and that's why you run into problems like the ones you're running into now. If you're looking for blame, there's only one person.
Well, you had also this idea out there that like maybe, you know, me from the athlete internalizing the injury and thinking about themselves for once in their future and capitalizing on a situation that would actually take advantage of his prime and Dak Prescott. And you also bringing, you know, the money situation that you force your own hand with. If perchance like they were having to part ways with Dak, would you see a situation where you'd rather bring in a young quarterback or would you rather see and look around the market at a veteran quarterback, even though you sort of had one entering his prime and it didn't work out?
Yeah. It's going to be interesting what you're able to do if you're Jerry Jones with the money involved in this. Are you going to be able to get a veteran that's coming from another situation? You know, I'm super curious to see what happens with Matt Ryan. If the Falcons are bad enough to be in top overall pick range or right around there, do they draft a quarterback? Do they try and deal Matt Ryan? I know him and Julio Jones both said they don't want to be traded. All these things starting to come up. Do they go that route? And are the Cowboys going to continue to be bad enough to be in that top range? Or does this talent snake bite you on the other end now and make you just good enough, especially in a bad division like the NFC East, to get out of that range? There's way too much hanging in the balance right now for a Cowboys team that right now has gone out and looked abysmal. At least the Giants, who are below them in the NFC East, look like they're building towards something. The Cowboys team looks lost right now. So no MVPs in sight in the Cowboys situation. Coming up next, we check back in on what the NFL MVP situation looks like and what it's going to take to break through for a non-quarterback. That's next. It's Shanae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Equal good. We're not boring, and we are great.
First of all,
not period.
Period. End of sentence. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Penzo Performance Line, again in about 10 minutes. We're going to try and not run directly into Derrick Henry, who is going to be joining us. The Titans, all everything, running back. Going to be out here not truck sticking anyone on this show because I'm done. I'm out of the game, and I'm not looking to get back into it. Definitely not in that way.
I'm trying. Like, I don't know why I thought about, hey, if he was like a rapper, what would he make me feel? Be like, oh, you know what I mean? His game, Derrick Henry.
So you just want an excuse to do the Rick Ross grunt again. That's all.
I mean,
that
I
was.
do it better than you.
I still don't know where you get that from right now. Just because you were anointed by Rick Ross himself when he came on the show.
You're right. He said I have potential.
You got potential. You've got potential to hear your tweets read on the show. Chanae and Golic Jr. reminding you to be a part of Chanae and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. At Chanae, at Mike Golic Jr. And I saw this yesterday, Chanae. ESPN tweeted out the video of the perfect summary of the Dallas Cowboys seasons right now as Mike Nolan, their defensive coordinator, is sitting up there at his press conference and accidentally puts Tabasco sauce in his eye on the end of his finger. First off, who among us has not been in that hellhole of a spot? And second off, there is no more bigger, I think, embodiment of what the Cowboys are going through than that.
First of all, I'm very glad that he keeps hot sauce around him because that's what I keep in my purse. And I feel like it could be a weapon if necessary. Someone comes at me, bah, bah, hit him with Tabasco. The reason why I say this is very normal for me is because right now in my fridge, I have hot wings. And I got new nails. And so I'll eat my wings. And I thought about getting gloves, but I was too hungry. And so I was trying to take my contacts out and I got some hot sauce, you know, buffalo sauce in my eye.
So wait, just to be clear.
That's why I'm wearing glasses today.
You're wearing all of this because of the buffalo sauce?
In my eye, yes. It still stings-ish.
I want to, first off, I'm glad that you're doing okay. I'm glad that you're weathering this storm because Mike Nolan literally had to stop his press conference yesterday because of what's going on. So you're battling through and doing a radio show right now.
The show goes on, okay, people?
It does, but I want to go back and make one thing abundantly clear. You said, and I'm checking my notes on this, that you've got hot sauce in your bag.
Yeah, of course. That's a great lyric.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to make that 100% clear. Chanae
and by the way,
Jr.
You're not even shaming me for like my breakfast habits at this point.
No, listen, I have become accustomed to accepting you for who you are right
Thank
now.
You.
This is what happens. We accept each other for who we are on Chanae and Golic Jr.
Yes.
There we go. That's our love language is hot sauce here around the show. I have to get into another very controversial food take. We were doing Christmas stuff yesterday, and I'm under fire for my candy choices. Today, we will get to that, but it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless right now, Chanae. And as we look back at the NFL, I was looking through the updated MVP odds right now through this portion of the season. And first off, going into this last weekend, Chanae, shocked. When I looked up and saw that you could actually still pay human money to bet MVP odds on Ezekiel Elliott in a Cowboys uniform.
Okay, come on. Maybe this was like people that hadn't watched the news the last 2 weeks. The sport. Okay, no, there's no reason.
No.
There's no reason. I try to do it. There's no reason.
There isn't. And you can understand going into the reason. Zeke is still a great player. Zeke is in a bad rut right now because he plays a dependent position. And he's looking up and has no idea who the five guys are in front of him trying to block or the quarterback who's handing it off to him at this point.
He's in a bird box situation. He gets the ball and he's like, oh dear, like, yeah, what
am I supposed to do right now in this situation? But you look up and it's all the names that you would expect, Chanae, on the rest of this list. Russell Wilson leading the way right now. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray going to be up there in the mix. And we expect all
Tom
of
Brady?
Those quarterback names. Tom Brady in the mix as well. Him and Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill. And then you get down a little bit further on the list and you see Derrick Henry. And I mentioned Derrick Henry. I mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. Aaron Donald is also one of the perennial non-quarterbacks on this list. And if we look at it more and more, Chanae, and I know we're getting ready to talk to Derrick Henry in a couple of minutes here, but I do often find myself wondering, are we at a point right now where it like would have to be a meteor striking Earth for a non-quarterback to win MVP, right?
It would take a Herculean effort. And the good thing is, like, Derrick Henry is built like Hercules, right? For a running back to win. And I was actually trying to go back into the archives the last time a running back won MVP, 2012, Adrian Peterson with the Vikings. Before that, though, 2006, LaDainian Tomlinson and then Sean Alexander. So, like, it's been a minute. And even now it feels like the odds are not on the running anybody but quarterback side. Because think about the way the game is shifting. More points, quarterbacks leaning into their arm strength. And so it feels like it makes things so much harder. And even the top guys like Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, maybe you can make a case for like Clyde Edwards-Helaire doing some good things. But like when you have a running back like Derrick Henry and a tag team with Tannehill, at least you can make this case that, oh, maybe it should go to the guy running back instead of the quarterback in this instance. And if they won, you know, last game, I feel like the case would even be stronger.
It is true. And we mentioned that last game, right, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, now the lone unbeaten in the NFL. So speaking of that Titan situation, let's check in on potentially sharing the backfield with an MVP and being part of one of the hardest hits we saw the entire weekend. We will talk to Derrick Henry next. It's Chenea Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenea Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chenea Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chenea Igwumike with you guys, giving you all the straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And we've been talking about people outside of playing quarterback in the NFL having a shot at the MVP award. And we talk to and go now to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line to speak to one of those MVP hopefuls and a guy who has been playing outstanding football all season long. Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Derrick, we appreciate you taking the time to come hang out with us, man. Just first and foremost, we talked a lot about it. Playing running back in the NFL right now, one of the most talked about positions, people trying to act like it's devalued. But when we see you running out there and you look at this position, do you think someone like you could potentially be an MVP in the NFL, even in this day and age?
I don't think I deserve to be in that conversation. I got to keep working, keep improving. Guys who are in that conversation need to be in here. And me, my approach is just working every day and improving better as a player to help my team.
Very humble guy, Derrick Henry, Tennessee Titans running back, Pro Bowler, Heisman winner on Chenea Ngola Jr. Now, Derrick, you know, in your win versus the Bills, you had a signature play versus Josh Norman with that stiff arm, and it was so fun to see all of your teammates enjoy it. What was the funniest part, maybe, of the aftermath? Can you take us behind that play?
Can you say it one more time?
The stiff arm. Can you take us behind behind the scenes of the play when you got the stiff arm versus Norman?
Yeah, I'll just come around the outside, running play, me hit him one on one. I just definitely want to use my stiff arm effectively, and he ended up going high. I just keep my hand and extended my arm, right spot. Able to get him to the ground. We know what else happened after that.
We all bore witness to that one right there. No one more so than Josh Norman. As we're talking to Derrick Henry with his Titan star running back on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Derrick, a situation like that, your guys' response in general coming off of dealing with the COVID-19 outbreak, having to shut down for a little bit in the organization, seemed very defiant. What was the conversation like for you guys inside that locker room as you heard the outside world saying all types of opinions about you guys, whether it was other teams in the NFL or the media?
Just sticking together. Sticking together as a team. Continue to stay in shape. Whenever we were building, holding meetings waiting to hit the green light where we can come back in here, prepare for a game, being around each other, just being around your teammates is the best thing. And then when we are able to get back in here and prepare for a game against the Bills on that Tuesday night, we'll have to be back together, make a show, play with them in that game.
Derrick, I'm curious, like, was anyone upset behind closed doors? Were you guys feeling like you were being slighted or wronged by people that were looking at your team and saying you guys should forfeit and all this stuff?
We really just wanted to play. We just wanted to get out there and go to practice, have a week like we've been having, and wanted to make sure everybody whoever was sick was getting back healthy, was feeling fine and doing the right thing we do to get back on the team so we can all be back together and playing again. But really just waiting on that green light when we get back to football and continue the season.
Here with Derrick Henry, Titans running back, on Chinay Ngolick Jr. Now, you guys did just have a bump in the road, but you did talk about how prepared you guys are for every mindset, and that starts with your coach, Mike Vrabel, leading you guys through it all. What makes Coach Vrabel such a good coach? Is there a moment that comes to mind?
Yeah, he's very smart. He's played the game at a high level. He's won a Super Bowl. So he's been doing this for a long time, and he's seen a lot of football, played a lot of football. And, he's a player's coach. He's very hands-on when he needs to be. Every week he makes sure we're prepared, studies the game, even all the games that's played each week, just so he puts us in the right situation game with the best possible chance to win.
Talking to Derrick Henry with us, Titan star running back on Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Derrick, you were very humble in talking about the MVP conversation. One of the other players that is involved in that, though, is your quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, who your team paid this offseason, is sticking around with you guys. I'm curious, what impression did he make on you guys when he first got to Tennessee that let you know he could be this kind of player for your offense?
Yeah, just as soon as he came in here, just was preparing like a starter from the time he got here, and then training camp the same way. And from the time that he got the opportunity, he's took over. He's been the leader, and he's been doing a great job for us ever since. He's been balling.
Now, Derrick, you really have picked up where you left off last season. Right now, you currently lead the NFL in rushing yards, rushing touchdowns. It's been amazing so far. But we know that going into the season, it's been a year like no other. How were you able to prepare to perform so well even now?
Just continue to do what I always do. Work hard throughout the week. Prepare for the game with my teammates and my coaches. And keeping that underdog mentality, that's what we try to, keep that mentality around here each and every week right there on Sunday. And feel like our work, these talent mentalities are hard. So I always keep my mentality at just head down, work hard, block out the noise, and the overall game.
Blocking out the noise and hitting people very hard seems to work well for you. Derrick Henry with us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Derrick, I can see it in the background, so I have an idea, but can you tell us who you're with here today and why?
Excited and very happy to team up with Olive Spice and starting the commercials. And plenty of superstars that play this game that work with them, and being able to star in their commercials, and I'm happy to team up with Old Spice to be the unstoppable sweat defense campaign. We use a lot of Old Spice here in the Titans locker room. Old Spice product is all around the NFL and locker rooms and stadiums. And the Old Spice sweat defense can give you confidence to get through anything that comes your way on and off the field. And it's very cool because I've been watching these commercials as a kid to be able to star this commercial and team up with Old Spice.
It's very exciting to see for you. You're the only running back I've ever stared eye to eye with when walking into a room. So if you say that it's the way to go, I am going to believe you. Derrick, we appreciate the time and all the insight today, man. Best of luck with the rest of the season, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Derrick.
Thank y'all for having me, man. Y'all take care. Appreciate y'all.
Derrick Henry, Tennessee Titans star running back with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Chinay Ngolick Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. Chinay, I covered the Heisman Trophy ceremony the year Derrick won, and I'm not kidding. Walking into that room with a microphone, and I'm fresh off of, being a player at that point. I'd watched him in college. Staring eye to eye with a running back was one of the more humbling experiences I have ever had.
I mean, even me, when I am tall, I'm taller than most running backs. Like, that was the recognition I had when I stopped at Stanford. And now, like, seeing him, what I love is he's like rock steady. He's just even keel. He's like, this is just what I do. No problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing with him too, is like, he's been big for so long. Like, I have to imagine there are a lot of those Derrick Henry cell phone videos of him as like a gigantic 8-year-old ruining kids' lives on a football field. So he's used to doing exactly what we've seen on Sundays his entire life.
No, it's a beautiful thing. And I do think that he is qualified to put himself in it. He's so humble. He's like, no, I'm not in the discussion. I'm like, yes, you are by the numbers. Come on now.
I can say, I saw how hard you ran into Robert Spillane this weekend. You're in whatever discussion you would like to be, sir.
Thank you.
And I am not going to disagree with that.
Your way.
No, I can say, and very few people are. We're going to see the Titans continue to play great ball in the AFC. But coming up next, some teams making the decision not to play ball in college anymore. We'll tell you who and why next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.